coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. What do we have today? Well, we've got Tom Lambert, the president of Michigan Open Carry. He's going to be talking all about Michigan Open Carry's upcoming Supreme Court case right here in Michigan, all about your right to keep and bear arms in school districts, on school property. We'll be talking about that in segments 2 and 3. The entire show today is a tribute to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. If you've never heard of Fred Rogers or watched an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you're really missing out. What a wonderful man. I wish I could have met that guy. He's passed on now, but let's just listen right now to his theme song, and that will set the tone for this entire show.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor?
Now you might be thinking right about now, has Skip totally flipped his lid? Is he off his rocker? This is a gun show. This is all about personal defense. Mr. Rogers, he's not exactly a Clint Eastwood kind of guy. Why is he playing a Fred Rogers song? Why is he dedicating the show to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Well, I got something I'm going to read to you, something I wrote up few hours ago, and I think it'll be self-explanatory. My wife, Sarah, is my most loyal and honest of critics. She's always gentle when she gives me advice, and I can accept that advice because I know she cares about me and will tell me the truth in a non-crushing manner. Last week, we were driving home from a family trip in Missouri, an 8-hour drive, and I had her listen to the latest episode of The Home Defense Show, and then I asked for her opinion. I was surprised when she told me, sometimes you sound a bit like Mr. Rogers. And then in a later conversation with a close friend, he voiced the same opinion. At first, I wasn't so sure I liked that. But then I got to thinking about it. To be honest with you, I always liked the show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, even though I first saw it as an adult in my 30s. After all, tough, gun-toting Marines and self-defense instructors shouldn't be watching shows like that, should we? Frankly, I always saw Mr. Rogers as a bit effeminate. But after I had children of my own, I recognized the need for someone like Fred Rogers, if for no other reason than to balance the violent world we live in with a bit of soft-spoken compassion, something to take the sharp edges off the selfish and violent culture we seem to be devolving into. Fred Rogers died in 2003 at the age of 74 from stomach cancer. But during his lifetime, he received many awards, including an Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, a Peabody Award, and he was inducted into the Television Hall of Fame. Now, when I look at my wife's comments objectively, I guess there are a few similarities between myself and Fred Rogers. For example, when I'm not cussing or excited, I probably do sound a bit like Mr. Rogers. I've always been soft-spoken, but there are a few subtle differences as well. Fred wore a cardigan sweater. I wear body armor. Fred works with puppets, music, and children. I work with pistols, pepper spray, and AR-15s. Fred was a vegetarian who said, "I could never eat anything that has a mother." Me, I not only eat things with mothers, but I kill them myself, gut them out, and then I cut up the meat in my garage. Fred taught kids to think highly of themselves, whereas I teach parents to protect kids, up to and including use of deadly force. Yes, Fred Rogers was a great man, an advocate for children, a soft-spoken Presbyterian minister who never spoke a word in anger, at least as far as we know. And he was about as successful as you can be in his industry. So, after much thought, I've decided to be flattered that my wife thinks my radio voice sounds a bit like Fred Rogers. In fact, from now on, I want all of you to call me Mr. Rogers with a gun. And welcome to my neighborhood, where everyone is armed, only soft words are spoken, and where the skies are not cloudy all day. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be my, could you be my, won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor. Let's talk about guns today. Right about now, Mr. Rogers must be rolling over in his grave, but I guess that's okay. Maybe once I get to heaven, Fred and I can go out on the range and throw some lead. Get to know the guy. All right. Let's move right on into the news. I'm going to bearingarms.com here. Woman pleads guilty for shooting encyclopedia-wearing boyfriend. I don't know if you've heard about this episode yet, but boy, this takes the whole Darwin Awards to new heights. People will do anything for fame. It's especially true if wealth can be had as well. They'll try almost anything to be adored by crowds, and they don't always think things through. Take the example of a woman who shot her boyfriend while he held an encyclopedia in front of him. Wow. Higher learning. A Minnesota woman has pleaded guilty to fatally shooting her boyfriend in a videotape stunt they planned to post on YouTube. Mona Lisa Perez, what a name, 20, pleaded guilty last week to second-degree manslaughter in the June death of 22-year-old Pedro Ruiz III. Perez had two young children with Ruiz. That is sad. Perez told investigators that Ruiz wanted to make a video of her shooting a bullet into a hardcover encyclopedia he was holding against his chest, according to court records. Well, at least he chose hardcover instead of paperback. Perez said she fired a 50-caliber Desert Eagle pistol from about a foot away. Folks, I don't know if you've ever shot a 50-caliber Desert Eagle, but I have. And they will punish your hands. Man, talk about the recoil. The kinetic energy that's in that round. Oh my gosh. Ruiz died from a gunshot wound to the chest. I think that, I'm not laughing because he died, because that would make me not very Fred Rogers-like, but wasn't this predictable? The couple had a YouTube channel where they posted videos of pranks and stunts. Hours before the shooting, Perez tweeted, "Me and Pedro are probably going to shoot one of the," no pun intended, "probably going to shoot one of the most dangerous videos ever. His idea, not mine." Last idea he ever had. Perez deserves to be charged, of course, but she's not the only one who bears some responsibility. Obviously, Ruiz does as well, but dead people can't be charged. In this case, that's a true pity, because the level of stupid it takes to think something like this is a good idea is downright criminal. You know, initially I'm thinking it must be some drugs involved, but sadly, I don't think there were. I think these people were in their right mind, or at least their version of a right mind. Just sad. Very, very sad. You know, make sure your kids don't grow up to think they have to be famous. I mean, strive for excellence, of course, in whatever they do, but don't make them think they have to be the prettiest or they have to be the richest, because all of that stuff is fleeting. You know, instead, maybe teach them that they can be the kindest or the best parents or the best providers or the best protectors. Be careful of that. Our kids are growing up in a society that doesn't really know which end of the barrel the round comes out of when it comes to wisdom. Wisdom and common sense are severely lacking. So, hey, again, that was at BearingArms.com. Make sure your kids don't end up as, you know, YouTube legends, but Darwin Award recipients. All right, well, that's about all the time we have for this segment. Coming up, we have Tom Lambert, the president of Michigan Open Carry. Michigan Open Carry has a case coming up that's going to be heard by the Michigan Supreme Court. And this doesn't affect just open carriers. This will affect every gun owner in the state, whether you open carry or concealed carry. You're going to want to hear about this, because this could have a lot to do with whether or not we get rid of those dreaded and deadly pistol-free zones. So, you got 2 minutes. While you're away, go ahead and check out miopencarry.org, and then listen to our sponsors, Elite Firearms and Training. Go to elitefirearms.us to check them out. Larry Jackson can help you out with choosing the best firearm for you. And then go to Firearms Legal Protection, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and get your family protected against the criminal justice system. All right, folks, we're out of time now, but when we come back, we will be speaking with Tom Lambert, the president of Michigan Open Carry. This is Skip Coriel, a.k.a. Fred Rogers with a Gun. Welcome to my neighborhood. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We have on the phone with us now Tom Lambert, the president of Michigan Open Carry. Tom, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hey, Skip, thanks for having me on.
All right, now, Tom, I recently got an update from you. I'm a life member of Michigan Open Carry, and you send out these litigation updates, and I just got one called We Are Heading to Michigan Supreme Court. But before we dive right into that, can we go ahead and, Tom, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then what is the role of Michigan Open Carry?
As you mentioned, my name is Tom Lambert. I'm the president and legislative director for Michigan Open Carry. We're one of the three big statewide gun organizations in the state of Michigan. As you can tell by our name, Michigan Open Carry advocates for effectively open carry. What we focus on is an openly carried holstered handgun. We believe through that, to give you a long spiel, as short as I possibly can, effectively open carry brings gun ownership out of the closet. By seeing somebody with a firearm, they know that their neighbors, their friends, their family are gun owners, and guess what? They're good people too. One of the biggest things that we in the gun community fight is misinformation. And the other side is constantly trying to portray us as crazy people, just waiting to kill somebody, just waiting to shoot somebody, that guns are absolutely dangerous and they're just going to go off at any second and a whole bunch of people are going to die. And obviously you and I know this to be completely and utterly untrue, but people that don't know very much about guns or the gun community and that don't realize that there are guns all around them every day, they don't really know what the truth is until they're confronted with it. And when they see somebody openly carrying and the world-ending scare tactics of the other side turn out to not be true, that has an effect on people. So effectively, again, bring gun ownership out of the closet. And just to give you a little bit, personally, what I want to do is use open carry to further the entire gun community. I'm not trying to say I want somebody to open carry instead of concealed carry all the time. I want more open carry. I want more concealed carry. I want more target shooting. I want more education. I want more hunting. I want more collecting. I want it all. And I want to grow the entire gun community while using open carry as a tool to promote it.
Yeah. Now, Tom, I'll be quite honest with you right now. I think it's like 9 degrees out. I'm not open carrying right now. Simply because, man, I would freeze my butt off. But I'm just curious. You know, I know it probably, as far as your membership goes, you know, people probably have the misconception that, you know, if you're a member of Michigan Open Carry, you have to open carry all the time. And, you know, I'm a life member, but I probably only open carry about 10% of the time. And that's primarily because, you know, I like it as a tool that I can use when I want to use it. Hey, if it's like 85 degrees out, I'm going to open carry. You know, if I'm, you know, out in rural areas, I open carry quite often out there. But certainly when it's cold like this, I don't. But, you know, as far as your membership goes, you know, how often do people open carry, if there is such a thing as an average open carrier?
I don't know that there is necessarily. I do know that we have people that have told us that our members that do donate to the organization that tell me, Tom, to be honest with you, I never open carry. I just don't think it's for me. But look, I still support you guys because I understand what you're trying to do. And I think that's fantastic. Whether you want to open carry, whether you want to conceal carry, look, open carry has advantages and disadvantages. Concealed carry has advantages and disadvantages. We believe neither one is wholly superior to the other. It is up to each individual to decide what's best for them in their specific situation. It's not up to me, and it's most certainly not up to the government. Through education, we want to empower people so they can learn what they can do, what options are available to them, and then let them make their own decisions.
Well, you know, Tom, that's an interesting point, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone from Michigan Open Carry state it like that. What exactly are the advantages and disadvantages of open carry?
Sure. Well, attention is both an advantage and a disadvantage. Our members, we don't particularly seek attention. But obviously, if you're open carrying, some people are going to notice you. We just tell people open carrying your everyday life and just be the same kind of person you would normally be if you weren't open carrying. The downside is, well, attention. I would not recommend somebody openly carry a handgun and walk down the streets of Flint at 2 a.m. I don't think open carry is necessarily your primary problem there, but if nonetheless, I still wouldn't recommend somebody does it. One advantage of concealed carry is, well, yeah, people don't notice you. Well, at the same time, yeah, people don't notice you. They don't understand that guns are all around them every day. A disadvantage of concealed carry is it can take longer to get to your firearm. You have to carry a smaller firearm, which limits round count, which limits caliber. In the summer, it's much easier to open carry than it is concealed carry for most people. In the winter, concealed carry becomes a heck of a lot easier, and you can conceal a larger firearm in the winter.
Yeah.
So it's all depends on the person. You know, one person's body type might facilitate a certain type of carry better than another person's body type. Where are you? Are you at a wedding? You know, personally, I don't open carry at weddings because I understand that's a special event, and I don't want to make it about me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever you're doing, make your own decision that you feel is best for you.
Now, you mentioned a lot of advantages and disadvantages. I think for a lot of people, it comes down to what is their personality. Because, you know, some people don't mind being noticed. Others are just more shy. And they want to be in the background, and they don't want to be noticed. They don't want that attention. So I think that has a lot to do with it. The important thing for me is that I have the choice. I don't want to be at a gas station in August and step out to pump my gas and have to put on a concealing garment just to pump my gas. I would just want to step out, go ahead and pump it, and not have to worry about, you know, someone calling the police because I have a gun. One of the things about Michigan open carry, you guys tend to be more bold than other organizations, and I can see a need for that, and I can see a place for that. And I especially like your open carry picnics. Those are just, I mean, the food is fantastic for one thing. But then there's a camaraderie that develops around that as well. I appreciate that very much, and I see where it could be a good thing. Now, one...
Really quick, if I may, thanks for all that. For anyone out there that's listening that's not sure about open carry, that hasn't done it before, just give it a try sometime. Even personally, when I started open carrying, I had a lot of misconceptions in my head. I made it out to be a far bigger deal in my head than it actually turned out to be. I thought everybody was going to be looking at me. I thought everybody was going to be rude to me and treat me differently. The truth is, the vast, vast majority of people just don't notice.
Yeah.
Everybody's too busy in their daily lives to really notice. And outside of a city commission meeting, I don't know that I've ever had a negative experience. Everybody has always been very friendly because I'm always very friendly with them. And especially if you like go to the grocery store, the people that do notice are the kids because their parents are busy shopping, looking at the shelves, or the kids are bored looking around at other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now that you mention it, most people don't even notice when I have a gun. You know, one thing that I always recommend in my concealed carry class is that if you're going to open carry, you operate under a heightened, you know, state of situational awareness, which you should be anyways when you're out in public, and that you get trained in weapons retention, maybe have a retention-type holster, just something, so, you know, because it is a gun.
Yep, all things that we recommend as well. And just really quick, one other misconception is the whole you'll be shot first. I don't know of an example of someone the open carrying, a citizen, not a security guard who's in uniform, that's entirely different, being shot first.
Yeah.
We do know of numerous documented cases where some somebody comes in to case a joint, sees somebody with a firearm, and goes down the road to the next place. I often tell people that I open carry because I don't want to shoot somebody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes a little bit to figure out what I'm saying is I'd rather them just leave me alone and go down to the next place than have to pull my concealed firearm and potentially engage somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, all good points. Now, Tom, we were going to talk about the Supreme Court case this segment, but we got off on a tangent. So let's go ahead and before we close out this segment, go ahead and tell people how they can get a hold of Michigan Open Carry and find out more about your organization.
Sure. Two biggest ways are either online on our website or through Facebook. You can find us at miopencarry.org. miopencarry.org, or just search for Michigan Open Carry on Facebook. We have both a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Our page is where we put out all the information. Our group is where we have people come in and discuss things and ask questions. Our primary goal here is education, educating people on what the laws are and what they can do and empowering them through information.
Okay, fantastic. All right, we've got a two-minute break here. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and also Elite Firearms and Training in Middleville, and then miopencarry.org to find out more about Michigan Open Carry. All right, when we come back, we will be speaking again with Tom Lambert, president of Michigan Open Carry. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want to talk to you about keeping your kids safe around guns. I've never been a big fan of trigger locks, but I have to tell you, I have found a product called ChildSafe One. It's a trigger blocker, not a trigger lock, and it works fantastic. I tried it out on my kids, and they could not get the ChildSafe One off the training gun. I gave them 5 minutes. I sat there and I watched them, and they couldn't do it. Folks, I am satisfied, more than satisfied, that my kids are safe around ChildSafe One. Here's the good thing about it. I can get that lock off the gun in under 2 seconds, but my kids can't even figure out how it works. ChildSafe One is a win-win for everyone in the family. My wife's happy because she knows the guns are secure. My kids are happy because they're safe. And I'm happy because when the wolf comes a-knocking, I've got that gun cocked, locked, and ready to rock in less than 2 seconds. So go to globalgunsafety.com and get ChildSafe One today. That's globalgunsafety.com. Check it out now and tell them the Home Defense Show sent you.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now.
Okay. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking in segment three with Tom Lambert, president of Michigan Open Carry. And we had a nice conversation the last segment, but now we are going to transition right into our upcoming Supreme Court case. Tom, what is going on with that? What's that all about?
What we have in front of us, or it has the potential to be the biggest pro-gun ruling in the history of the state of Michigan. That's really what it's coming down to be. What we're doing is we, a number of years ago, filed a lawsuit against Clio area schools over on the east side of the state, where they were trying to ban people from not only open carrying, but even concealed carry that's allowed under law in certain situations. And the whole entire argument stems around, can school districts regulate firearms beyond state law, or does state law preempt them and stop them, the schools, from going further than state law? That is the crux of the argument. We filed our case. We won at the circuit level, which is the county level, the first level. The judge ruled in our favor and said, nope, according to this case law, you schools are preempted. You do have to abide by state law. No, you cannot make your own rules. Another case that was filed, very similar to ours, after we filed ours against Ann Arbor, the Ann Arbor judge reached a different conclusion. So we had a split lower court ruling. Both of the sides that lost appeal to the Court of Appeals. The three-judge panel for the Court of Appeals, which was pretty well stacked against us, I'm not sure that we could have had a worse panel, ruled 3-0 that schools are not preempted, that yes, they can make their own rules beyond state law in a what I consider to be very, very flawed opinions. You know, they issued opinion for each case. Both gun groups, Michigan Gun Owners is the other group that they're the ones that had filed suit against Ann Arbor. So both gun groups have now appealed to the Michigan Supreme Court. Just recently, we received word from the Michigan Supreme Court that they are going to hear our appeals. Give you an idea, according to the Michigan Bar Association, less than 4% of cases submitted to the Michigan Supreme Court are actually granted, are actually heard by the court. We are in a very, very small subset of cases here, and we are very fortunate to be able to argue our case in front of the Michigan Supreme Court.
Tom, I'm curious, that the appeals court that ruled against you, what was their logic behind that?
We start getting into a number of esoteric issues here that are fairly complicated, and it comes down to statutory preemption versus field preemption. Statutory versus field. We have a preemption statute, it's Quick Act 319 of 1990. If you're familiar with how MCLs work, Michigan Compiled Law, where they get the number, it is MCL 123.1101 through 1105. That's the public act that deals with statutory preemption. In the first section, 1101, they define the term local unit of government to be effectively county, township, city, of entities of those nature. They do not specify school districts in that definition of local unit government. And then in Section 2 of the Act, they say local units of government are preempted from going beyond state law, effectively. Our argument was not one of statutory preemption. Our argument was one of field preemption. Field preemption kicks in when the legislature has heavily regulated an area of law. And they've done so much that effectively leaves no room left for any lesser unit of government to regulate it, because state laws, whether they say so or not, they supersede local laws. And that's more of our argument of field preemption. Despite arguing field preemption to the court, their ruling almost completely focused on statutory preemption, basically saying that because school districts were not enumerated in the list of local unit of government, that statute did not preempt them, therefore they are not preempted. Despite us saying that, you're right, it's not in there, we're not claiming that this statute applies to them, we're talking about this other doctrine over here that's based on Supreme Court precedent from the 70s, that they're field preempted because state law does regulate firearms in schools in both the Penal Code and the Firearms Act, that the area is so heavily regulated that there's nothing left for them to do. The lower court sided with us. The Court of Appeals focused solely on statutory preemption. I believe they did that because they knew if they focused on statutory preemption, then they could easily rule against us. We have at least convinced the Michigan Supreme Court that there is likely enough of a problem that they should take a look at it. Doesn't mean the Supreme Court's going to rule in our favor, but we've at least convinced them to take a look at the case.
So what is the time frame for this? Is there a court date yet or not?
We don't have any date yet. The process we're going through is known as a mini oral argument. Instead of the full hour's worth of brief oral arguments, there's only half an hour. The briefs are a little bit shorter. It's a process that's been used by the Michigan Supreme Court very frequently over the last couple of years to effectively shove more cases through the system. They have less overhead for each case, and it gives them more options on how they can rule in each one. We have 42 days from the notice to file supplemental briefs. The attorneys for both cases are heavily booked January and February with cases that have already been scheduled. So we're working on requesting an extension. My guess is it's probably not going to be till March that they have oral arguments. And then from there, the court can issue an opinion right away, or they can take their time. For what it's worth, it was a year from the time we appealed to the Michigan Supreme Court to the time we received word that they'll hear the case.
Well, Tom, it's good that you're a relatively young man then.
This whole thing started in the spring, or very early. I think we filed March of 2015, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Is there anything at stake here? I mean, what would happen if they rule for you, and what happens if they rule against you?
Yeah, you know, that is the question. And thank you for reminding me to get to that part. A lot is on the line. If everybody knows about these concealed pistol-free zones, some people call them pistol-free zones somewhat incorrectly. Some people call them gun-free zones definitely incorrectly. They are, for those CPL holders out there, they are the list of the places on the back of your CPL. If you notice, those places only apply to concealed pistols. Therefore, if you're carrying openly, those places don't apply to you, and you can go ahead and carry openly in there if you're a CPL holder. That's another reason why you might want to try open carry, because concealed carry isn't an option for everybody in every place. If we win, I believe most, if not all, of those places will go away. We will be in a very, very strong position to bargain for the reduction of those zones. Because if schools are forced to accept that they have to allow open carry in their facilities, they are going to scream. Mm-hmm. And they are going to come to the bargaining table basically saying, what do we have to give you? And the answer is going to be, look, legislature, if you have a proposal, I'm happy to hear it. We just won a big Supreme Court case, so we're not exactly going to accept anything. But if you have a proposal, we're willing to hear it. If we win this Supreme Court case, our price is going to be very, very high, such as let's eliminate the zones completely. And our preferred solution to schools that don't want open carry, just allow concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
Won't most people just go ahead and do it anyways? If that's what they're trying to argue, then, well, just go ahead and allow concealed carry. I don't see a reason to ban open carry. Just allowing concealed seems to be the best option to me. And I think we'll be in a very strong position to argue for that. Now, if we lose, schools are effectively to be able to do whatever the heck that they want. And the whole point of preemption is so that we have a blanket set of rules that everybody can abide by in the entire state. If we didn't have preemption, then every government entity that you go through could have different rules. And just think of a commute, all the different townships, the cities, the counties that you would go through. In a 10-minute commute, you could go through three or four different jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
Without preemption, it'd be very, very hard to figure out what's acceptable. But with preemption, we have one blanket set of rules that's much, much easier to follow. And that's what we're looking to maintain for these schools. So, yes, this lawsuit is just as important to somebody who concealed carries 100% of the time as it is to somebody who open carries 100% of the time. And a win for the gun groups I believe, will be the most significant legal victory for pro-program movement in the history of the state.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I always have problems with is sometimes there's this polarization, you know, open carry versus concealed carry, and you've got, you know, everyone's all over the spectrum on that. Some are vehemently for, some are vehemently against, and it's like, if you concealed carry, you can't open carry, and just all this stuff that's out there. But this sounds to me pretty much like a win for open carry is a win for concealed carry, so concealed carry holders should be very much wanting to get behind Michigan open carry on this case.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what I was getting to. We're not here to promote open carry over concealed carry. I'm here to push the entire movement forward. And one of the ways open carry is able to do it is for decades, everybody focused on concealed carry while forgetting about open carry. So open carry is less regulated. And so we're able to use this gap in the law, if you will, to show how stupid their regulations are. You know, we can go carry in all these areas. We have plenty of pictures of people in schools, you know, standing right next to the teacher with a big smile, helping the kids with an openly carried holstered handgun right on their hip. And guess what? Nobody's freaking out like the anti-gunners say it will absolutely happen. We're able to demonstrate what you and I know to everybody rather than just saying, well, we believe. It's much more powerful when we're able to show pictures of proving that the other side is lying rather than just saying we believe the other side is lying. And through that, again, we push everything forward.
Now, Tom, legally, I can walk into my local public school. I have a CPL. I can legally walk in there open carrying my pistol. But what's going to happen after that?
That's a good question, too. It depends on the school, because right now schools can make their own rules. There are still schools in the state that are allowing people to open carry. They have particular guidelines set up. They're a little different in each school. We've helped a lot of these schools come up with these guidelines. Usually they call you to the office. They want to see your CPL. They verify that, yeah, your CPL is valid, and then they pretty much leave you alone. After you give them a little bit of information so that they can be comfortable, and then after that they leave you alone. Other schools have decided to ban firearms on campus, and they use the state's trespassing statute because what you're doing isn't necessarily against any firearm law. If they have the authority to create their own policies and enforce their own policies beyond the state's firearm law, then they enforce those through trespassing. With trespassing, you must be told that your actions are not allowed, and you must be given a chance to correct your actions before you can properly be convicted of trespass. So if you walk up to school and the school says, hey, I'm sorry, you can't do that, we have a policy, you should be given an opportunity to go put it back in your car before they call the police and have you arrested.
You know, every once in a while you'll hear horror stories, either in Michigan or elsewhere, where someone just calls the police. And they just call 911 and say, hey, somebody's here at the school with a gun. You got to come right away. And then, of course, SWAT teams comes and there's a lockdown and it just, you know, just all hell breaks loose. So basically, we want to get away from that, get rid of the, you know, the chaos, the mayhem, and make it more acceptable so that people can see, especially children, that firearms, they're a tool and they can be used by good people for good things on an everyday basis. So, hey, I'm behind you.
Good guys have guns, too.
That's right. I'm 100% behind you on this. We're about out of time. How can both open carriers and concealed carriers alike help out with this court case? Because I know this has got to cost a ton of money to do this.
Yeah, it's most certainly not cheap. And as the smallest of the gun organizations in the state, we have the most limited budget of all. Any donations to the organization, to the organization as a whole, or to our legal defense fund are greatly appreciated, no matter how big or small. If you'd like to donate to the organization, you can just find our website, miopencarry.org, and there's a way to donate there. You can find us on Facebook. You can contact us if you're not really sure what to do. We'll help out, or look up our address and send a check to the P.O. Box.
Tom, we're going to follow this closely, and we will have you on again as this develops. So once again, Tom, thank you for all that you do and all that Michigan Open Carry does. Go to miopencarry.org. Go ahead and click on donate, and let's get some money in their coffers so they can advance open carry and concealed carry in the state of Michigan. Tom, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thanks for the support, Skip.
All right, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. When we come back, I'll give you the wrap-up, and we'll talk about whatever's on my mind, more on open carry as well. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Good talk with Tom Lambert, president of Michigan Open Carry. Folks, as you can see, there is a lot at stake there. If they win this case, it would be the next step in getting rid of those terrible pistol-free zones. Those pistol-free zones are deadly. It's where bad guys go, crazy, insane maniacs go to kill as many innocent people as they can. We need to get the right people armed in those places, get them trained, get them armed, so they can protect innocent people against bad guys. That's just common sense in my mind. The problem is, if we lose this case, I don't think you'll ever get any honest, law-abiding, regular citizen like you and I, you'll never be able to be armed in those places, open carrying or concealed carrying. So there is a lot at stake. On the other hand, if we win, then it's just a stone's throw away from totally abolishing those pistol-free zones. Because quite frankly, folks, between, you know, me and you and Fred Rogers, you know, God bless his soul, the governor is not going to sign this Senate Bill 584, the one that abolishes the pistol-free zones, and if you have 8 hours of advanced training, he's not going to sign that. Not without some, not pressure, but incentive. He's going to need the proper incentive. And I think winning a Supreme Court case, boy, it takes you to the bargaining table from a position of strength instead of a position of weakness. And that's what is needed. Is it worth taking the risk? Only if we win. Obviously, if we lose, that doesn't make sense at all. We may live to regret this one. What does that mean when the rubber meets the road? Well, what that means is we'd better not lose. I really think you should go to miopencarry.org, click on that donate button, and give as much as you can. This could be your best shot at getting rid of those pistol-free zones, and we all hate them. We know that they kill more people than they save. Click on that button, miopencarry.org, donate what you can, because it takes a ton of money to take a case like this to the Supreme Court. So please do that today. Again, miopencarry.org. Now, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Now, I know that there's some people out there that probably are furious at me for even saying Fred Rogers and gun in the same sentence. But you know what? Maybe Fred Rogers carried a gun. If it was concealed carry and he did it properly, we wouldn't even know. Which raises the question, what type of gun would Fred Rogers carry? Wouldn't it be just funny, ironic, if we found out that Fred Rogers carried a .50 caliber Desert Eagle underneath that cardigan sweater? That would leave a bulge, wouldn't it? But wouldn't that be delightful? He should have taught gun safety. Kids, stop. Don't touch the gun. Leave the area and go tell Mommy and Daddy. Gosh, I do sound like Fred Rogers. I'm going to have to work on that. I need to be more manly. Gruff. Yeah. Maybe I should take some of those testosterone boosters. I don't know. No, not that. Well, protein anyways. Maybe what we need, just to balance things out, even the playing field a little bit, maybe the next Fred Rogers should be an open carrier. Someone who open carries, a .44 Magnum, Desert Eagle, something big. You know, has good visual effect. Something that the kids can see. It's obvious. Hey, Fred Rogers has a gun. But he's still nice. He's a nice guy. Listen to his voice. It's so soft. It's so soothing. It's hypnotic. And he has a gun. And he's still a good guy. Fred Rogers with a gun. That's what we need, folks. You know, this whole thing about open carry, you know, there are some circles where all you have to do is mention the phrase open carry, and they go berserk. And, you know, I got to tell you, at one time, I was against open carry. That was before I had ever open carried. And then I met some guys from Michigan Open Carry. I think Brian Jeffs was the first one. And let's face it, Brian's kind of cantankerous anyways. But he's a good friend, you know, and I like him. I understand him. But he's gruff. He's blunt. That caused me to resist a little bit. But you know what? He had good arguments. It made sense. It was rational. And once I got to know him, you know, Brian's big, right? But deep down inside, he's just a warm, lovable little fuzzball. So, you know, he really was the first one to get me thinking about it seriously. And Brian is the first guy who ever open carried into the state capitol in Lansing. So, hey, you got to respect those guts. Whether you open carry or concealed carry, aren't they both covered by the Second Amendment? It's just a personal choice, isn't it? You know, I know in the Old West, if you concealed carry, you were considered one of the bad guys, right? It's like you had something to hide. But now our society has changed so much, and it's like we're 180 degrees out of phase. Now, if you open carry, there's a certain segment of society that looks at you as the bad guy. You know, why are you making waves? I think the bottom line is there's a lot of us who have just flat out become sheep. And we don't want to see that gun. We don't want to see those teeth. We don't want to be reminded that there's danger out there. When these people see a gun, oh man, it's they just freak out. You're familiar with that term hoplophobia, right? The irrational fear of firearms. I think hoplophobia has reached epidemic levels in certain segments of our society. On the other hand, man, I got to tell you, I think open carry, to a large degree, has advanced the agenda for all firearms owners, whether you carry openly or concealed. I remember the first open carry picnic I ever attended. It was up in Traverse City. This was way back in, 2009. I had founded an organization called the Second Amendment March. And we were up in Traverse City and had an open carry picnic there. And I don't know, there was 100, 200 people there. TV cameras, you know, all over. They were interviewing people and kids running around all over the place. Little kids, I mean, my kids as well. And there was this one homeless guy in the park. Apparently that's where he lived. And he would come up and he just started talking to all of us. And, you know, he ate our food, which is fine, you know, feed the homeless. And he was a nice enough guy, but I think he felt a little out of place because he was the only one not armed. So he went away, and a few minutes later he came back, and he had what looked like a big table leg, a wooden table leg, and he carried it over his shoulder like a club. And I remember the TV reporter was interviewing me, and this homeless guy walked up, and he stood right next to me in front of the camera. And he just started nodding his head. Every time I said something, he'd nod his head in agreement. And he's standing there with this club on his shoulder. And I thought, what are people thinking? People who are watching this. But that was just funny. And since then, I've been to quite a few open carry picnics, you know, with several gun groups. And, you know, it always turns out well. No one ever gets hurt. The general public, they come, they walk by, they see families with parents that carry guns, and no one ever gets hurt. No one ever dies. The kids have fun. It's just a great time. And I think as a public relations tool, when used properly, open carry is a very valuable tool. Now, obviously, you've got some people that are bad for public relations when they open carry. And I have never agreed with obstinance as a means to further your agenda. I just don't think it works. And you have some people, they'll go out for the express intent to troll for law enforcement. They'll go out to make it about themselves, to be famous on YouTube. I just think that's a really bad idea. I don't think it furthers our agenda. I think it hurts our agenda. I mean, they have the right to do that, and if you want to do that, go ahead, but try and be in good taste. Be careful when you're out there. Like I said, I open carry about 10% of the time, more during the hot weather in the summertime, less when it's cold like this. And when I go to the big city, I typically won't open carry. Not because I don't have the right to, I do. But simply because I don't trust law enforcement or the general public to do the right thing and to react responsibly to my legal firearm. We are just about out of time with episode 59 of the Home Defense Show. Had a great time. Again, I'm trying to stay calm. I am Mr. Rogers with a gun. Mr. Rogers with body armor. Mr. Rogers with pepper spray. Y'all remember that. Okay, next week on the Home Defense Show, I think we're going to talk about national reciprocity. What happened to national reciprocity? Why is it not passed yet? We're going to find out. We're going to go ahead and interview someone that can give us the answers. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel, a.k.a. Fred Rogers with a gun. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make
it. That was a good show today, wasn't it, Fred? Fred?
It's such a good
Fred, is that a gun in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me? Fred? Fred, put the gun down. No. Fred, come on. Put the gun down. Fred, no! No! Oh, my God. It's a liver shot. I can't believe it. I've just been taken out by Fred Rogers. Oh, God, this is a rough neighborhood.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!